Welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays by the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on supply trends, category updates, brand awareness, and what's hot in the market. Join us each week from San Francisco Bay, California, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Dan, the Produce Man.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays on this lovely, lovely Friday in February. Today's Fresh from the Field Fridays is brought to you by the Produce Industry Podcast and sponsored by Buck Naked Onions, Equifruit, the only banana you should buy, Sunrays, the snack with impact, and the Dole Fruit Company. Yes, folks, it's a lovely, lovely day in the San Francisco Bay. I'm Dan the Produce Man, and it is one heck of a month, isn't it? It's Potato Lovers Month. It is Super Bowl month this weekend, Super Bowl Sunday. It is Valentine's Day. It's Black History Month. It is National Cancer Prevention Month, American Heart Month. So there's a lot going on. Lent begins this month. It's also Jewish Disability Awareness and Inclusion Month and Humpback Whale Awareness Month. So there's a lot of things going on. But when it comes to fresh produce, we know that the Super Bowl is the big, big avocado Black Friday for the avocado industry. You know, it's funny. When I had my store, I used to, first couple of years, maybe first 3 years, I would set up this big display of avocados and onions and cilantro and garlic and all the cross-merchandising items and the chips and the whole bit. And what did people buy? They bought the already made guacamole that we did that was in the refrigerated section. So I stopped doing the big promotions on avocados and chips and salsas and all the other stuff, and just started promoting the guacamole that we made, and it went over really well. Now, it is a big time for avocados. So around the country, we have Mexican avocados, and in some areas of the country, Chilean avocados. We used to get a lot of Chilean avocados in the winter here in California, but now it's all out of Mexico. And that's the Hass variety, I should say, because there's plenty of other varieties that grace our produce departments of the more independent stores, I would say, like Zutanos and Bacons and Fiortes and other green skin varieties, which is how we used to have to do it before Hass avocados were imported into the United States from other countries. We would just, the Hass season would end, and then all the greenskin varieties would come into play all through the season until we started back up with California Hass again. Now, California Hass are being harvested now, but we won't see them for a while in the grocery stores. It's the time of the year right now for new crop Hass avocados, and you know, folks will be happy to see them on the stands again since, you know, they ended last September. But there's one thing with the new crop California avocados: because they're being picked now, the oil content is not going to be where we usually like it to be. There will be a little watery rather than oily, but the flavor of the California Hass avocado is outstanding. Yes, the imported stuff has the full oil that gives the avocado its texture and flavor and the whole bit. So that's going to be a better eating experience right now. Now, late next month, the California crop will have more oil and it'll be right there in the game, pun intended. I think they're both really good. I like the flavor of the California avocado. I will sacrifice the oil because I just like the flavor. So it's just what you prefer. Now, what happens is in September, when we're finished with the California supply, Chile and Mexico move into the market and their avocados are new crop at that time, and they are less oily at the beginning as well. So it just depends. And then somewhere in there, they throw in some Peruvian avocados, and that's great if the California crop is short or needs the extra bump. You know, it's funny because I was chastised by the Hass, no, it was EcoFarms Avocados on Instagram, because a couple of years ago I posted a post about why are all these Peruvian avocados here during the California season? And they got back to me and said, hey man, you know, we're supplementing a demand that California can't fill because the demand has fully exceeded supply. And I said, okay, that makes sense. And then when I talked with, I think it was Jan DeLeiser at the California Avocado Commission, she actually confirmed that. So, but anyway, I thought it was kind of funny when they jumped in there and said, hey, now, wait a minute. In some cases, the Peruvian avocado is a welcome addition. Now, this is during the summer months. And in other cases, people frown on it because they want you to buy local only, California only. I stick with California. I like the California avocado. Doesn't mean I haven't been eating Mexican avocados because that's what's there. But I have been eating some green skin avocados as well because I like them. A lot of people don't, but I do. I like the flavors and I like the textures and the different varieties. All right, if I haven't confused you with avocados, just understand. There's going to be plenty of avocados in your grocery stores. Make your guacamole this weekend. Eat it up. Contribute to the avocado madness, and everybody will be happy. Just remember, California is starting in a light way and will pick up next month and then the months going forward. Okay, speaking of Peru and Peruvian avocados, recorded history of the avocado dates as far back as 750 BC, where pits were found buried with Peruvian mummies. So in Peru, Ecuador, and Chile, it was given the Inca name Palta, P-A-L-T-A. And unless it's pronounced Palta, but I doubt it could be, who knows. But then in the days of Montezuma, in one of his so-called conquests of the town Ahuacaltan, I don't know. I'm reading one of my old articles, so who knows? I might have been walking around saying that to people. Who knows? Ahuacaltan, pointing at people. Anyway, where records were found that indicated that there was a tree that grew in the town that had these little ellipsoidal fruits on it. This tree was regarded as like super special, and the fruits on it were called ahuacate. So Cortez claimed to have discovered them during his ravages, and then of course, you know, all kinds of stuff happened. And then it made its way around the world over the years and picked up a few more names like aguacate and the French word avocat. Even good old George Washington himself called it the avo-vogo pear. Agovogo pear. So, and then of course we've, you know, in Florida, those big green avocados we used to get quite a bit here in California during our off season. A nickname was the gator pear or the alligator pear. Anyway, all these different names besides the gator pear thing were attempts to pronounce the original Aztec name Ahuacatl. Okay, so I've seen other green skin avocados. I've brought them home. The Bacon, the Fuerte, and the Pinkerton variety, which is actually Pinkerton's one of my favorite varieties. It's very nutty. It's very oily. Has great flavor. They get big, really, really big. But I noticed that a lot of folks have been... I used to get banana boxes full of them. And you hear me talk about banana boxes a lot because banana boxes are strong and sturdy. And everybody saves them to put up orders or whatever after they're done with the bananas. I would get oranges in banana boxes. I would get, well, bananas, of course, but I mean from different growers. So they would pack these Pinkerton avocados loose in banana boxes and then deliver them to me at my store. And I swear, some of these things weighed like 8 pounds. They were massively huge. And then, but it was all odd sizes in there. But that's a little side note. The Bacon variety has a large pit and a very light, creamy yellow flesh, yellowish greenish. These remain green when they're ripe, so don't wait for them to turn black. Just let them get soft to the touch with a gentle pressure. The Fuerte, now that has a slightly smaller pit than the Bacon, and it's more pear-shaped than the bacon as well. Bacon more football-shaped. Fuerte in Spanish means vigorous and strong. So the flavor is fantastic. The fruit peels easily when it's ripe, and it also remains green when it's ripe. So just let it yield to gentle pressure. It's great for salads, omelets, and all kinds of other things. So that Fuerte is very significant to what I'm about to tell you shortly here. One quick tip is the green screen varieties bruise very easily. The bruising shows up really fast. So when you drop a hard avocado that's, you know, not ripe yet, it's very hard, and you could actually break a window with it if you threw it hard enough. When you drop those on the floor, say cement floor or in the store or even on your kitchen floor, when it ripens up, that bruise will show. And in the green skin ones, it really shows big time. Okay, now let's get on to the Hass, the king of avocados. It's an interesting little story, heartbreaking in ways, but we're running out of time, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to go over how the king of avocados got its place of prominence. Don't go away.
Welcome to Equifruit, an importer and marketer of fresh bananas. Equifruit is committed to 100% fair trade, which means no crummy wages, super safe working conditions, and nothing but love for the ladies. Driving innovation through impossible to ignore merchandising, Equifruit is the only banana you should buy.
Everyone, we have an APB out on a buck naked onion. This onion is produced by Owyhee Produce, so we have to be on the lookout. Whether you're a retailer, food service distributor, or a wholesaler, this onion is whole, it's hearted, and it's a buck naked, everyone. To all you civilians out there, please, let's catch this buck naked onion.
Okay. Let's get on with it. I hope I haven't told this story on this program before. I know I've told it on radio shows, but I don't know if I've told it here before or not. So if I have, forgive me. I wrote a lot of articles for local newspapers and magazines and an old website that I used to have called The Produce Pair. And I did thorough research out of old books and calling growers and boards and commissions and the library or books I bought or whatever it is. And I put these articles together, and the newspaper would publish one, I think it was every week or every other week. And the magazine came out bi-monthly. But I wrote these articles, so I have a lot of them still. And I refer to them quite a bit because all the research has been made. So anyway, back to the king of avocados. This particular avocado variety, the Hass, which is the king of avocados, the most widely grown variety all over the world, almost never made it to the market. It seems that the grower of this avocado, Rudolph Hass, he had given up on a tree that he had grafted on a piece of property that he owned in La Habra, California. He was attempting to develop the perfect avocado. And what he was experimenting on was he wanted to improve the Fuerte variety, which I told you about before the break, a green skin variety. And he wanted to improve that, and he had his little methods and things, but I think he was tired. He was a postman. He delivered mail. So when he arrived at his acre and a half hobby farm, he was just bummed out about it. Things weren't going right, and he was just going to cut down the tree. This was the last one of his failed efforts to graft these avocado varieties. He had no idea that what he was about to discover would change the avocado world forever. The year was 1931, and Rudolph Hass had it with trying to produce the perfect avocado from existing varieties. For 6 years, he was working on these trees, and they were just complete failures. Now, growers, horticulturists, they had been working on avocados since the early 1800s. from Atlixco, I hope I pronounced that right, Puebla, Mexico City, to nurseries in Southern California where the Fuerte was still the king. But Rudolph, he was not in the greatest mood when he showed up to cut down the last remaining tree. The fruit hanging on the tree was dark-skinned, rough and pebbly, not pleasing to the eye at all. It is today. Cut this thing down, call it a day, and forget about grafting avocados was all that was on Rudolph's mind. That was until a worker who had been attending his little farm cut him a nice slice of that ripe avocado from that tree, and he gave it to him and said, "Here, try this." Rudolph reluctantly tried it, but when he put that piece of avocado in his mouth, all I could imagine is that he said, "Holy guacamole! This aguacato, gator pear, avogogo is creamy, smooth, oily, nutty in flavor. This is absolutely fantastic." Probably tossed the guy a few coins and said, go to the store, find us some tortilla chips. This avocado was great." His flop was a success. Now, who knows how that conversation really went, but in my imagination, which can be a dangerous place, not a harmful dangerous place, but definitely a dangerous place if you have a everyday normal mind. But hey, without imagination, we wouldn't have half the things we have in this world, would we? So, needless to say, he kept the nursery. So, what happened was Rudolph worked for the next few seasons with his beautiful, new, pebbly-skinned treasure that he found ugly and had rough skin. But the ugly, rough skin made the fruit weather-resistant and good protection for shipping. Not like those green-skin varieties that I told you will bruise up very easily. So by 1935, he had taken out a patent on his new improved avocado. Yes, that's what it was called. Now, Hass died in 1952, and he never got a chance to enjoy the success of this miracle child. In fact, altogether, he made less than $40,000. That's it. That's all he made off of it. And today, the Hass variety avocado is the number one produced avocado in the U.S. and just about the most popular avocado in the world. Commercial production in South Africa, Mexico, New Zealand, Chile, Peru, just to name a few, tens of millions of trees all around the globe came from that one single tree that was about to be cut down on Hass Ranch in 1931. Now, let's ask this question. What if his field attendant had called in sick that day or decided that he didn't want to work anymore? Kind of like a lot of folks are doing these days. And then and Rudolph went ahead with his plans to cut it down. Very interesting. Now, that tree, at the time I wrote that article in 2001, was still alive at the time. Now, I know somewhere between then and now, it finally either cut down or who knows, maybe they immortalized it somehow, even in its dead state, but it's no longer with us now. But it was at the time I wrote that article. Pretty cool, huh? So that's the deal. We almost never had our beloved Hass avocado. Then what would people be eating? Well, they'd be eating green skin avocados and other varieties, I would imagine. Well, we'd still have guacamole. I mean, it would be made with other varieties, that's all. So this weekend, enjoy your Super Bowl festivities with some guacamole, and when you dip that chip into that bowl of guacamole, before you chomp down on it, you can look at somebody and say, "You know, we almost didn't have this." And you can brag to everyone about the story that you now know about Rudolph Hass. All right, folks. That's going to wrap it up this week for Fresh from the Field Fridays. I hope you have a great weekend. Hey, I won't talk to you again until after Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day out there. Give your sweetheart something more precious than flowers, chocolate, and jewelry. Give your sweetheart a big hug. Look that person straight in the eyes and tell them how much they mean to you and how much you love them. All right, folks, thanks a lot. Be sure to tune in to the Produce Industry Podcast every Monday with Patrick Kelly, as well as the Produce Industry Show on YouTube and the Produce Industry app. You gotta have that. Download that now on your watch, on your tablet, on your phone, and wherever else that you can download apps to. Who knows? Maybe you can download them to your microwave or your smart refrigerator. Put it in there, the Produce Industry app. Also, don't forget to check out my YouTube and Rumble channels called Dan the Produce Man. And all my social media can be found at danthepruduceman.com. And of course, thank you to our wonderful sponsors out there and all of you who listen to the show. We sure appreciate it. Until next week, this is Dan the Produce Man reminding you that it's always best when you get it fresh.
You've been listening to Fresh from the Field Fridays with Dan the Produce Man. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast and at Dan the Produce Man. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.